As awkward as that is, we'll just go for it. You know, when I before I got into ministry, and even now, as a pastor who like preaches, you know, once a month, and I'm good with that. I always like wondered about and like kind of wondered at pastors who preach every week. And I know, like, you know, there's a gifting there, and like that's a passion. They really enjoy it. But I wondered about that because I wondered, what happens when they have just like a really bad week? Like, what if they're just really struggling? Like, how does that work? How do they prepare a sermon? How do they deliver a sermon? How does that work? And you know, even though I preach just like once a month, like the past week or so has been like one of those weeks for me. Just like struggling, discouraged, just a variety of circumstances, not one particular thing, a variety of things. And I was telling our small group, the guys in our small group on Friday night about this, and just, you know, things that were causing me to just kind of be down and discouraged and whatever, and feeling like distanced from God, and just, you know. And then I said, and I'm supposed to like preach this Sunday, and I'm supposed to like preach on hope. And like they all chuckled, right? As you, the irony of that, right? Because like for the past week or so, like my attitude, my perspective was like anything but hope filled. And so you know, God is so gracious, and He's been gracious to remind me of hope, even in the last couple of days. And so I just want you guys to know that, like, Advent is so significant partly because of the fact that it reminds us of things like hope. And that, like, these sermons and the things that I share and the other pastors share with you, like, these are things. You know, I know pastors sometimes say I'm preaching to myself here, but like literally, truly, this is something that I'm preaching to myself this morning. And so I hope that any of you, and I know that some of you are just going through a rough season, or just, you know, even just the holiday season itself being so crazy. And that I know some of you are struggling. I know some of you have had a rough week, maybe like I have. And so my desire is that this morning that this would be something that reminds you of the hope that we can have. Actually, not the hope that we can have, the hope that we do have. We do have hope. And so, you know, we're looking at Luke chapter 2 during this Advent season. And so you can turn there if you'd like to. I'll touch a couple of things there in Luke chapter 2. The interesting thing about this idea of hope is that the word hope is never mentioned in Luke chapter 2. You won't find it there. And so, you know, it's interesting to think that, okay, we're talking about this theme of hope, we're looking at Luke 2, it's not even there. Well, the word may not be there, but actually Luke 2 is all about hope. And we'll see that. You know, sometimes somebody may ask you, like, to describe something in, like, one word. Like, describe your family in one word. Describe your vacation in one word. Describe your work in, you know, one word. And sometimes the thought will come to my mind, if somebody asked me to describe, like, my faith or my belief, Christianity, in one word, the word that always comes to my mind is hope. Our faith is all about hope. Hope for something better. Hope for a better future. Hope for a better present. Hope for just something more, something better. Hope. And so as we celebrate Advent like reminds us or recognizes what we're going to talk about this morning is three realities of hope. three realities of hope, and they're these. Number one, Advent helps us recognize it. It reminds us that there has been the fulfillment of hope, that Jesus came, that hope has been fulfilled, the fulfillment of hope. Secondly, we'll talk about not only the fulfillment of hope, but the hope of fulfillment. Not only did Jesus come, but Jesus is coming again. Hope will be fulfilled again. And thirdly, we'll look at, because of the fulfillment of hope and because of the hope of fulfillment, then we can also look at the filling of hope. The filling of hope because of that Jesus is our hope and that he is with us. And so before we kind of jump into that, I appreciated Peter last week preaching on joy and making sure that, like, we all understood maybe a definition of joy, right? And so it's helpful when we think about hope to kind of be on the same page, to have kind of a working definition of hope that all of us can kind of understand this morning as we think about it. Because we use the word hope in, like, several different ways. And typically the ways that we use the word hope, they're all legit. Because there's kind of a few different ideas, a few different definitions of hope. And so one kind of definition, one idea kind of in the verb form would be just simply kind of to want something to happen or to want something to be true or maybe to want something to not happen. Like, I hope it doesn't snow or, you know, I hope that, well, so I got some like a face that said, what, you don't want it to snow? Or I hope there's not much traffic, right? I'm not going to get any pushback on that one. Okay. Just kind of wanting something to be true, like wanting something to happen, right? And so Peter even mentioned, you know, last week that in talking about kind of desires, that like one of his desires would be that the Cowboys would win the Super Bowl, right? And he mentioned that, you know, that may not be realistic, right? But that's this kind of hope. Like, Peter could say, I hope the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, right? It may or may not happen. In fact, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not realistic. But that's one thing of hope, right? I hope they do. It's just you desire something to be true, right? You want something to happen. So even though the Cowboys are not going to win the Super Bowl, you could still, like, talk about it that way, right? I have to give them a hard time because this afternoon, my Eagles are playing the Cowboys, and it is a huge game. So that's one definition of hope, right? Just kind of wanting something to happen, wanting something to be true. Another definition of hope, so we're not going with that one this morning, okay? That's not the one we're talking about. The definition we are going to focus on, the definition we are going to use is that again, in the verb form of this idea of hope, it is to cherish a desire with anticipation or expectation of obtainment or fulfillment. So it's not just kind of desiring something to be true. It's having a desire, cherishing it, but you have anticipation. You have expectation. This is going to happen. It will be obtained. It will be fulfilled. It is the idea of waiting with confidence. Waiting with confidence. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. We're also going to focus on kind of the noun form of the word hope, right? Which would be someone or something on which hopes are centered. Someone or something on which hopes are centered. So we talk about Jesus is our hope, right? So those are the two that we will focus on. So as we talk about that, that's what you can imagine. So Advent reminds us, Advent recognizes these three realities of hope. So number one, the fulfillment of hope. Jesus came. And so looking at Luke 2, in verses 10 and 11, you know, after Mary and Joseph have gone to Bethlehem and she's given birth to Jesus, and the angels are out in the field, the shepherds are out in the field, and the angel comes to them and says to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Why would the angel communicate it that way to the shepherds? Why would the angel say this is good news? This is good news of great joy. It's for all the people. For unto you is born. It's a Savior has been born. Why was this good news of great joy? Because hope is being fulfilled. Hope is being fulfilled here. You see, the Jews, they had been waiting for this. They had been waiting for this for a long time. They were waiting for the Messiah. And they were filled with anticipation. They were filled with this expectation that the Messiah would come, that the Savior would come. Well, what kind of fed that anticipation? What kind of fed that hope? Well, the Old Testament, the scriptures that they had available, it's all over the place. It's all over the place from the beginning of Genesis through to the end of the prophets. It speaks to this reality. It speaks to this hope. They speak of the Messiah. And now the angel is saying, here he is. The Messiah is here. He has come. The fulfillment of their hope. Hope always includes waiting. Hope always includes waiting. And we see a couple of powerful examples of that here in Luke chapter 2. After Jesus is born, then they do what good God-fearing law-keeping Jews would do. And they take Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord at the temple. And you can see it in verse 25 of Luke 2. Says this: there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Simeon had been waiting. And God even told him, look, you're not even going to pass away. You're not going to die before you see your hope fulfilled. It's amazing. And then shortly thereafter, kind of within the same scenario, it says that there was, in verse 36, there was a prophetess named Anna. And she was advanced in years. She had been living with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. Then she was a widow until she was 84. So she's very old. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were what? Waiting. To speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Hope always includes waiting. You know, we are in Advent, right? Well, the word Advent actually means like arrival or coming. So the word Advent in and of itself does not necessarily have that idea of waiting. We kind of talk about it in that way. We talk about kind of the anticipation, kind of the waiting. But the Advent itself is the arrival. The Advent is the coming. So what happens before the Advent? That's where the waiting happens. And hope is the link. Hope can only exist in the waiting. Because hope is this anticipation. It's this expectation. So hope can only exist in the waiting for that anticipation, that fulfillment, that expectation to happen. And hope makes the waiting meaningful. And it makes the waiting worth it. Hope is waiting with expectation, and Advent gives us hope, or reminds us of hope, because he already came. Jesus already came. And sometimes it's kind of hard for us to maybe understand this, because in our culture, like, we don't like waiting. And things are set up so that we, like, don't have to wait for much, right? We can get instant gratification much of the time. We don't have to wait a lot. If we're sitting in traffic, we're doing a good bit of waiting, right? We don't like it. I don't like it. We don't like waiting. And not only do we not like waiting, but sometimes, like, the fulfillment of hope isn't necessarily what we expected it to be. And that says something not about the hope, but that says something about kind of our misplaced desires. And we can see even this, you know, in the scriptures following this, when we see Jesus' life and when we see the people and how they kind of reacted to him and what their expectations were, what their kind of hopes were, what their desires were, Jesus didn't fulfill all of their hopes. He wasn't necessarily kind of what they were thinking that he would be. And if Jesus doesn't fulfill and didn't fulfill all of their kind of hopes or desires, then he's probably not going to fulfill all of yours or all of mine either, is he? And hopefully that will cause us to take a step back to evaluate and assess, like, what our hopes, what our desires truly are. So we don't like waiting. Jesus may not necessarily fulfill the hopes and desires that we kind of feel like he should or would want him to. But let's remember and let's celebrate the hope that Jesus did fulfill. He did come. I mean, this, again, at Christmas, like, this is almost just, we take this for granted, right? But, like, stop and think about this for a moment. The God of the universe came into our world as a baby. Like, are you kidding me? What? The God of the universe came into our world as a baby. He lived among us. He lived not only among us, but he lived the life that they could not live, the life that we could not live. He lived it. And not only did he live the life that we couldn't, but he died the death that we could not have died the death that he did. But in so doing, in giving himself for us in that way, in dying on our behalf, he died so that we could live. So that we could live. And that is the basis for the second reality of hope that Advent recognizes, that Advent reminds us of. So not only the fulfillment of hope, but secondly, the hope of fulfillment, that Jesus is coming again. Let me read that Isaiah passage again that we read earlier that looks ahead to this, that gives us a glimpse of this. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Both the Old Testament, like we just have seen here, and the New Testament speak about this. It's all over the place. It gives us glimpses of what this will be like. He is coming back. He's coming back to make things right once and for all. The end of the scriptures in Revelation chapter 21, Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." And so we see this all throughout the scriptures, but Jesus himself talks about it. Jesus himself tells us this is what is going to happen. And so we can take Jesus' word for it. We can take him at his word. He says, "I'll be back." In John 14, he's talking to his disciples and said, "Look, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you." And he says, "I will come again." And I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes it feels like what we read about here, and you know, especially you know, Revelation and all that, sometimes it feels like it's just kind of like a fantasy, right? Or like a fairy tale, or like a movie. It is a movie, right? Left Behind. Can I get it? But that's what it feels like, right? I mean, it feels like that. It feels like it feels like a video game or something. And I get it. I mean, it's really hard to grasp kind of what this in reality will be like. It doesn't seem real. And on its own, it would be kind of really hard to believe this, right? But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, in faith, we do believe that it is true. And we hope for it. Why? Because of what we just talked about. Because hope has already been fulfilled. Jesus already came. Jesus already won the victory. He did it. He did it already. And so we expect with great confidence and with great anticipation that Jesus will in fact keep his word. Jesus will keep his word. So since hope has already been fulfilled, our hope of fulfillment is real. It's real, and it, not only is it real, it carries weight. Like it means something. This real hope gives meaning and purpose to our lives right now. Because our journey as people is kind of taking place between the already, what's already been fulfilled, the hope that's already been fulfilled, and the kind of not yet, the hope of fulfillment. And so we live, our journeys take place kind of in this middle space, this in-between place. And in this middle space, there is a lot of waiting. There is a lot of struggling. There is a lot of brokenness. There's also a lot of beauty. But even given all of that, all the waiting, all the struggle, all the brokenness, for those of us, again, who are followers of Jesus, there is one thing that never is, and that's hopelessness. There is never hopelessness in the midst of all the struggle. And that brings us to the third kind of reality of hope, the third thing that Advent helps us to recognize, that Advent reminds us of. And that is the filling of hope. The filling of hope, that Jesus is our hope and that he is with us. Even as Jesus kind of gave his disciples the Great Commission, right? And so Great Commission Community Church. Hopefully you all know what the Great Commission is, right? Even as Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission and kind of told them how to live, told them what life kind of would be like in this in-between time, at the end of that, he said to them, I am with you always. I'm not just going to leave you on your own. I am with you always. Even in the midst of all of the waiting, even in the midst of all of the brokenness and struggle and persecution and suffering, I am with you always. Our hope is in a person. Our hope is a person, the person of Jesus. Jesus is our hope, and so no matter how messed up things are, no matter how broken things are, we can have hope. And because of that hope, we can then have the joy that Peter talked about last week. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it says, be joyful in hope. Psalm 33, 20 to 22 says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, I love this verse. It says this in the NIV. I like how the NIV puts it. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of persecution that Jesus kind of tells his followers to expect, right? We can be filled with hope in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and not just filled with hope, overflowing with hope. So this is not just like a hope that is kind of individual. This is not just a hope that is for ourselves. This is not just a personal hope. This is a hope that overflows to the world around us, to the people around us that so desperately need it. A good friend of mine is a pastor up in Pennsylvania near Lancaster, and his church is called Hope Community Church. And one thing that they do that I love is that anytime there is a fifth Sunday in a month, right? You know, sometimes that happens. There's five weeks or five Sundays in a month. Every time there is a fifth Sunday, the whole church goes out into the community and serves the community. And you know what it's called? Hope overflows. I love it. I love it. Another pastor friend of mine, also in Pennsylvania, different church, but he wrote recently to his congregation about this hope. And he says, we know that the world is not as it should be. We look forward to a better future with hope. But this future we envision with hope also gives us vision for the present. The hope of the gospel calls us to see potential and possibility to bring the future into the present. We are the church, a stairway between heaven and earth by which the future kingdom of heaven comes down to earth in the present. By the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom comes in and through us. Desperate, persistent, defiant hope calls us to action as we await our coming King and the fullness of his kingdom. Overflowing with hope. In a couple of minutes, we're going to sing a song called Living Hope. And we've sung this before, so most of you are familiar with it. Living Hope. And Advent, celebrating this Advent, recognizes, it reminds us, it points to, and it celebrates this living hope, who is Jesus. He is the fulfillment of hope because he came. He already came. He already did what was necessary. Jesus is this living hope because he is the hope of fulfillment, that he's going to come again and make things right, make things new once and for all. And he is the one, as the living hope, who fills us with hope, hope that overflows. And so as we close, I want to give you a chance to respond. And so I hope that most of you, if not all of you, received on your way in, not just a program, but a blank half sheet of paper. And if you didn't grab one, then we'll try to make sure you get one on the way out. And I recognize now that, you know, you didn't know what the half sheet of paper was for, and so you may have already doodled or written notes or something else on it. Okay, that's okay. But what I would like you to do with that half sheet of paper, hopefully it's still blank, or maybe one side of it is blank, right? That half sheet of paper, my desire for that half sheet of paper for you in response is that that half sheet of paper is an expression of hope. An expression of hope for you this morning. And so some of you, you know, maybe you are here for the first time, or maybe you are like hearing, maybe God is opening up your eyes, opening up your ears to this idea of hope for the first time this morning, even if you've been in church for a while. So some of you, God is stirring in you, God is wooing you, God is drawing you, God is desiring to give you this hope, maybe for the first time. And so some of you need to write a prayer of confession on that paper. Write a prayer of commitment to Jesus, maybe for the first time, to give your life over to him. If you do that this morning, I'm not going to push you on this, but I would love to see that. I would love to hear about that. Some of you, God is stirring within you to write a note of encouragement to someone on that sheet of paper. Someone that you know is going through a tough time. Someone who maybe you know is feeling hopeless right now. And they need hope. They need encouragement. And you can write a note of encouragement to them. Mail it to them. Hand it to them. Whatever. Some of you, God will stir within you and just give you the names of people who you know, again, who could use hope. And maybe you're not going to write them a note, but maybe God is compelling you to reach out to them. To reach out to them with a phone call or a text. Treat them to coffee. Treat them to lunch. Invite them over for a meal. And so if God is stirring, and write those names down on that sheet of paper and follow through. Some of you this morning, maybe like me, had a rough week, or you're in a rough season, and you needed to be reminded of this hope, and you need to be reminded of this hope more and more. And so some of you will need to take that half sheet of paper and write down scriptures on that paper. Write down promises that God gives us in his word that will remind you of the hope that you have. Maybe some of you need to, you heard me read Psalm 33, 20 to 22, and maybe that hit you. And you need to write that down and memorize that this week. You need to memorize it and saturate yourself with that hope. Some of you who are maybe more creative, again, if you've been going through a tough time, but you can envision a season that is more beautiful, that is more full of hope. Some of you just need to draw a picture on that piece of paper. Some of you need to write a poem on that piece of paper about what that could look like, about what it could look like to embrace and to live in the hope that we have. And maybe you can share that with others. What is God saying to you this morning? What is he stirring within you? I just want to give us just a minute or two of silent reflection so that you can ask God, God, what do you want me to do with this half sheet of paper? Maybe he's made it very clear already, but some of you just need to take a couple of moments and just ask him and be attentive and listen. So let's take a moment or two to do that, just in silent reflection, and then I will close us in prayer, and we'll sing a couple of songs.